Shime, great one. Three Dog Night. And Craig Breslow will join us in about an hour. And great news, the bar is officially open here. And that makes Fall River happy at Pier 52.
We are celebrating
50 years of Miller Lite. We got these incredible Miller Lite gold cans, limited edition right here.
And those are sick.
Those are really sick. And, yeah. And it's the original light beer and Boston Sports Original, and the two go together pretty well. So delighted to be here and doing that today. And we're going to play your Hill Notes back at about 9:30 this morning after we talk to Heidi Watney about the Red Sox and other things. So you can leave a Hill Note on the Odyssey app. And you'll see the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. And I'm sure you would like the opportunity to express your frustration with the Boston Red Sox. You can do that on the Odyssey app. Or maybe you're somebody who says you're not angry, you're not mad. You feel like this team can, as currently composed, can get the job done. So however you feel about it, leave us a voice note, and we'll get to those later. We were right in the middle of the news, and I think we have an airline incident of the day or two.
We have two.
All right, let's do it.
And now, the latest plane incident.
No, but this guy doing the flying has no airline experience at all. He's a menace to himself and everything else in the air.
Of the day.
By the way, is there anyone on board who knows how to fly a plane?
On the Greg Hill Show.
Wiggy's not going to like this story because severe turbulence on a Delta flight from Salt Lake City to Amsterdam Wednesday night led to an emergency landing in Minneapolis, where 25 people, including 7 crew members, had to be hospitalized. All 25 have since been released from the hospital, but those wanting to continue on to Amsterdam were able to fly Delta last night to continue their travels. The Federal Aviation Administration and National Transportation Safety Board are investigating what went wrong.
I saw some people on that flight who said they literally thought they were going down.
Yeah.
Do you keep your seatbelt on the entire flight or no?
No way.
Okay.
Right, oh, so I do. Unless I'm going up to go to the restroom, I keep it on.
Well, so that's tough to go to the bathroom with it on.
So that's probably why those people ended up being hurt, right? Because they didn't have a seatbelt on.
But I don't know. They said the cot went up
yeah,
in the air.
Yeah, cards went up in the air.
Oh, really?
And there was glass flying around.
They said the cot went up to the ceiling.
I've been on how many times have you flown? Hundreds of times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't envision that. Like, I've
been on one, and it was flying back from Maryland my sophomore year of college. We had beat them. Go BC.
All right.
But it was Halloween, and it was – they called it Frankenstorm. There was, like, a massive snowstorm that was hitting on Halloween, and we took off from Maryland. And when I tell you, I was, like – people were screaming on the flight. Yeah. Like,
that's pilot error. Because don't they have – I feel like I sat next to a flight attendant one time, and they were like – they have all the routes on where the weather is.
Is this the Mile High Club?
Where the turbulence is. Like, they have all that stuff. They have all that, like, turbulence?
They do. It comes out of the blue, though.
Does it just sneak up on you?
Yes, no, Wiggy, I'm with you. They have people flying 100 miles or a mile in front of them, a mile behind them. They should know pretty easily if, like, there's turbulence coming.
Like, don't they say, all right, we got to maybe take it a little bit lower or higher, whatever. Get the hell out of the way. We got to go this way because there's weather.
Yeah. Well, there was another incident. This one happened on the ground before takeoff. Kevin Sinnings, a man from Wyoming, was traveling at Buffalo Niagara Airport and was overserved.
Darn.
It happens all the time. So what did he do? He stole one of those electric carts and went on a pretty destructive joyride. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube right now, you can see this going down. He plowed the cart into the moving walkway, breaking the glass in between, all while ignoring the airport workers who were pleading for him to stop. Officials eventually arrested Sinning and charged him with criminal mischief, disorderly conduct, criminal possession of stolen property, and criminal nuisance and grand larceny.
Probably started off, he was going to have one drink before the flight.
All right, make it a double.
Then there was a delay.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're stealing a golf cart. So, all right.
Is there anything worse than the people that stand side by side stationary on the moving walkway at the airport?
The worst.
No. No.
I think it's so rude.
It's so rude
to everybody. And it's not people who can't walk.
No,
like,
of
that I understand. But they take up the entire thing with kids and everything else.
And then they harumph you if you ask to pass.
Yeah. Stand to the left, walk to the right. Or is that how it's...
Stand to the right, walk to the left.
Okay. Yeah, they should understand the signs right there.
Amen.
Yeah. The Mass State Senate passed the cell phone ban. It will now go to the House, and if passed there, it would take effect in the 2026-27 school year, and the state will mandate a bell-to-bell cell phone ban, including lunch and recess.
Wow.
Good job.
Yeah, they don't get their cell phones back.
Everybody seems to agree with that.
Yeah, it's a smart move.
I think it's great. I mean, it's... I don't know. You don't really need the phone. And if there's an emergency, I think the teachers have their phones. And
right.
So, all right. That's wild.
It's a good move by them.
Yeah, we can hear from Senator Jason Luz on WHDH.
Many studies have linked cell phone use with worse mental health, less physical activity, poorer sleep, lower grades, more disruptive classroom behavior, increased incidence of anxiety and depression, and decreased self-esteem.
Is there any advancement of technology that has been both more beneficial and more negative for society than the mobile phone?
I would say, rather than mobile phone, I would say wireless internet.
Mm.
Because it's really the internet on your phone that you're using to access all these portals. But no, I mean, there was a great Netflix documentary on this. I always forget the name of it. But it went through chapter and verse of all of the ways in which our adolescents have been negatively impacted. Like the causes of eating disorders, the causes of depression, the causes of isolation, the causes of substance abuse, all of that.
But yet it's also been for people who, you know, for all the things that you can do with it every single day,
right.
It's improved your life a hundredfold.
I would say online porn.
I'd say
the greatest invention, but the worst at the same time. I mean, let's be honest.
Yep.
I mean, who doesn't love it and hate it all at the same time?
Right. If you were to ask Michelle Wu, it's probably like the trucks.
And, Michelle Wu's lying. And she's probably like online porn, just like everybody else.
It's a real problem for you?
It's a problem for everybody. I mean, isn't that not there? Don't people go to addiction
rehab
for it? Like, come on now.
Well, Tiger was a trailblazer for that.
Yeah.
But I would say the...
I don't see people going to addiction classes for playing video games.
No, you're right.
Right,
that's just
carpal tunnel. No. But the thing for me is the best way this was said, I don't know who said it, it wasn't me, was that parents today will not allow their child out of their sight for a play date. Yet every night that child goes to bed with a phone and they can target and be targeted by anybody in the world without anybody knowing.
Yeah.
Like it's such a I agree 100% with that rule.
Well, I think it's great. It's a good thing.
Yep. An irrational fear at a theme park in Saudi Arabia. I don't know if you guys saw this video, but it happened Wednesday when a ride snapped.
Were there dinosaurs near it?
No, that's hidden still.
Okay.
A ride snapped and crashed, injuring 23 people, leaving 3 people in critical condition. So what this ride looks like, it's called like the 360, and it looks like it just swings and everybody goes upside down and comes back around. It looks like a Ferris wheel, but you're upside down.
You can see it. You can see it on Twitch or YouTube right now if you're watching the show. But it's terrifying because it basically breaks, and you see the people that get flung off it.
Yes.
Like I do you go on carnival rides?
I usually do.
Okay.
I enjoy, but not really a carnival. I'll go to an amusement park, like a place that it's
Curtis and I were talking about this last night on our ride back from dinner. And he's a ride guy.
Like, love rides.
You know, like, you go on any ride, doesn't matter.
Yep.
It could be the Rotary Club and the, you know, there's one carny guy that looks like he just broke out of a, you know, a prison.
Right.
And
bombed.
And he's the engineer for the ride. You don't care. You'll go on any, doesn't matter.
I love roller coasters. I love carnivals. I would, those were some of the finest moments of my childhood.
No thanks. Good. I don't need it. Don't do it. Don't need it. I don't like it.
And if something happens, boom, you get the I die, but they get millions of dollars.
Honestly, the best part of the Super Bowl in Minnesota was Mall of America roller coasters. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really well done.
All right. Anything else?
Well, just quickly, the new Naked Gun movie debuted with a red carpet appearance of Liam Neeson and Pam Anderson. It appears as though the duo are dating.
Well, that's nice. Now, Liam Neeson was very in love with his wife, who was an actress who passed away... I think from a skiing accident.
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of?
Was it the one from The Parent Trap?
Is it Peekaboo Street?
No. She was an actress.
Yeah.
And so he was very, very upset by that. It was probably like 4 or 5 years ago.
I'm using the greatest invention. Hold on.
Natasha Richardson from The Parent Trap.
Yes, yep. Yes. And so it's nice that he found love with Pam Parmela Anderson. That's nice.
And I don't know. You guys probably didn't see this, but it was like a weird story Page Six did about him.
No, I did not see it.
Peeing story?
A pee?
No,
about it was about his pee, but not a peeing story. Apparently, he's got like the biggest unit in Hollywood, which I thought was Pete Davidson. I was always told it was Pete Davidson, but this woman called Page Six, said it's all the talk in New York, and that for the last 30 years, people have been raving about Liam Neeson and
I'm sure they would. Why wouldn't they?
Right.
Really? Yeah. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I hadn't either.
I mean, he's a great action star. Yeah. I didn't realize he was that good of an action star.
Could you imagine his reaction? It's like, hey, oh no, you're in the New York Post, Page Six.
Right.
It's going to be something bad. You're like, wow, everybody thinks I got a huge Johnson.
Well, I mean, she was with Tommy Lee. We all saw that tape.
No, it sounds like Pam Anderson is very back to back, very lucky.
Yes.
I've never heard that about
me. I'm happy for him.
Why would you, though? I mean, it's kind of his business.
Yes.
So, yeah, all right.
Do you think every time that Pete Davidson was named that, he's in the background? Like, no, he's not.
Right.
Probably hate
him. I don't know. I'm not exposed to that.
Wasn't he with the girl, Emily Ratajkowski?
Who? He was.
Pete Davidson?
But Pete's now expecting a child with his girlfriend.
Yeah. No. Right.
All right. That's the news. Round of applause for Courtney, please. Thank you.
Hey, thanks.
Great job, Courtney.
Thank you.
Great job. A Flex Friday here at Pier 52, and we are going to get to the weekly wrap-up in about a half an hour from Acrobatic, and then Craig Breslow at 9. Right now, here is Courtney with what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. The trade deadline came and went for the Sox, and Craig Breslow did nothing after getting Steven Matz on Wednesday night. They got pitcher Dustin May from the Dodgers in exchange for two minor leaguers. Like Greg said, we'll have Craig on this morning at 9. The Sox back in action tonight. They have the Astros in town. 7:10 first pitch from Fenway. Sean McDonough joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. The Chargers beat the Lions 34-7 in the Hall of Fame game last night, and in Washington, Commanders receiver Terry McLaurin requested a trade. This comes as a result of frustration over contract negotiations. And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. Shaw's and Star Market have lowered hundreds of prices on the items you buy most, like boneless chicken breasts, snacks, cereal, and much more. See full saving claim details at shaws.com/lowerprices and starmarket.com/lowerprices. Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping, get rewarded.
Excellent rant yesterday from our guy Lou Merlone.
Oh, really?
On this radio station.
Yeah.
And so maybe we'll get to that when we come back from Fall River on a Flex Friday at WEEI. Epic rant from my guy Lou Merlone on this radio station yesterday. And I think he's spot on, Curtis. We talked about it earlier, and we're going to get the opportunity to talk to Craig Breslow about it in about half an hour, 40 minutes or so at 9. But it's all you did for the last month after the Devers trade is tell us how aggressive you were going to be and how you were going to improve this baseball team. And you did not. You did diddly squat, and you are, whether you're unwilling to part with prospects, because that is your strategy when it comes to controlling salary going forward, or you weren't willing to give up the guys that they wanted to get in order for you to get a player that is going to make a difference when it comes to the playoffs. You're unwilling to do it, and you let your fans down, and it's really disappointing.
They've been preaching about getting the team better right now, not for the future. I'm sick of talking about prospects. I'm sick of talking about the future for the Red Sox. Fans want them winning now. And for so long, all we talked about was the farm system and how great it is. Okay, but then we get those guys, and they're at the top of their game, and we trade them away. So it doesn't do anything for us down the road either. I'm just so sick of it. It's so easy for them to use that as an excuse year after year. We want change, and we want it now.
Great job by Lou Merlone.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Last week, nobody out there for the Sox to get. You know, there's not enough arms out there. There's, you know, I wouldn't waste it. And now it's like, well, you know what? What are they doing here? I don't, like, know, like, what? Either. Because remember when he said last week they're not going to do anything because they're not going to waste the time because you're not going to be able to get any impact players. Now he's saying, oh, they didn't do anything. I just feel like people are using this, and I get it, to flip-flop. I am clearly on Curtis's train now. I think the Red Sox have dropped the ball.
You can drive it.
You could have got Joe Ryan. You could have got one of these high-impact arms that you didn't get. And now what people are starting to do, and I won't do it like myself, I'm going to jump on the train with Curtis and say they have been kind of like – telling us to look over here and right. really been, you know, having the puppet over there. And I just don't get why they do this. And Curtis, you've been on it from day one, but well, I don't think
are you trying to say Lou's being hypocritical?
Yes, I am.
Well, he's not. He was
He
was talking about Jarren Duran. He was talking about waiting until the off season to trade Jarren Duran and get your number two that way. He didn't want to part with Jarren Duran. What he's telling you is part with every single prospect that you have in the system. If you can get Merrill Kelly or you can get Joe Ryan, and they could have done that.
Yeah, but I'm saying that if you part with whoever you need to part with to get a number two. That's it.
But Wiggy and Greg, it goes back to the Devers trade, because if you were able to swallow some of his salary, you would get better prospects that you then could have flipped for Orion, for someone else. Instead, they prioritized cash cutting, cutting cash, cutting spending, mm-hmm. and getting less return. And even, Greg, like, just ruminating over this now, over the course of the show, even if their approach yesterday was, we're not going to sell these guys, we feel like we're close, I don't think it's the right time to do it. As the Astros, as the Rangers, as the Yankees, as all these teams around you are improving their team, don't you, if you have an ounce of competitive juices inside of you, say, okay, we need to do something? And I remember I was trying to find it last night after dinner. There was like 03-04 had these like faith-rewarded Nesson documentaries about the season. And in one of them, I couldn't find it, there is a scene with Theo Epstein, Tom Warner, Larry Lucchino, and John Henry. And the deadline passes, and they got a couple guys. And Henry's like, what'd the Yankees get? And they go, nobody. And he's like, awesome. And they're having beers, and they're like, it was such a different world where it was all the brain trust in one room trying to win. And now it's John Henry from afar saying, don't spend money and lie to the fan base and let's see what we get.
Yeah, it's just in light of what you brought it up and we talked about it a lot earlier, the division got better, the Blue Jays got better, the Yankees went out and got better. Those that you're competing with when it comes to the wild card, the Mariners, the
Rangers, you know,
the Rangers, the Astros, they all made a move which made them better. You did not. So, you know, he's going to sit here in a half an hour and I guess explain it. I can't wait to hear it. This is Jake from Boston. Jake, good morning.
Morning. So what's over up? The last decade or so, we've seen the collapse in the prestige of the Ivy League consultancy class. Started with politics, obviously. I think the president has broken people's brains. But Craig Breslow set a new standard yesterday in that press conference for why everyone hates the Ivy League and basically gave you another reason to give him an atomic wedgie and stuff him in a locker. The words uncomfortably aggressive, Craig. First of all, why do you continue to prove that you don't have any people skills by insulting your fan base like that? Secondly, this isn't some, like, woke reparations land acknowledgement, Craig. You aren't some Gen Z kid who's so brainwashed by, like, men are bad media narratives that you need to uncomfortably ask, like, 830 times to make the first move. We are the girl. We are the Red Sox fan in that situation. Take us. Take us and give us what we've been pining for, Craig. You have the most assets of anyone in baseball. You get these two cheap bums. And tell me what happens, Greg, when Ivy League failures don't become finance bros on the street. They become Major League Baseball general managers like this over-conservative, diamond-hand-holding dork who would have cried his assets into bonds a few months ago when the market tanked due to tariffs instead of going all in. I bet you Craig Breslow doesn't have any crypto either. The only move with the stones Breslow would have made on the market the last couple of months would have been like buying Boeing after the plane crash. Buy low, sell high, like you did on Aroldis Chapman. In fact, you know what he probably did acquire yesterday, Mr. Hill? He probably acquired, like, a pair of tube socks for the 21-year-old kid with a massive spin rate. He gushes over. He absolutely gushes over. Listen.
Jake, thank you. Well said.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot in there.
That's
impact.
Aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but
Greg, you know, are the opposite of the Ivy League class.
I didn't even go to college.
Right.
I didn't
even
get out of high school.
No.
Ken Rosenthal described their pursuit of Joe Ryan as feeble at best.
Yep.
Feeble at best. So I don't know. I can't
We're
wait to
feeble
ask.
Feeble at best.
I cannot wait to ask Craig Breslow if that's an accurate depiction of what they did and why. And so it doesn't have to be Joe Ryan. I mean, that clearly was the diamond that you were trying to get. But Merrill Kelly or anybody who you can count on to improve this baseball team who doesn't, you know, is not somebody else's cast off like the Dodgers with a 5 ERA, somebody who you can legitimately count on when it comes to pitching for this baseball team. And there's a reason why they didn't do it. I'm waiting to get the answer on what that reason is. And they ought to be honest and upfront about it. They ought to.
Well, they can't. The reason why they don't tell the truth is because they know the truth would alienate their fans, which is that they don't have the same financial investment in this club as they once did.
Then why keep it?
Because it's
then why keep
because
the baseball
they're about
team?
To break the system so that they make it more profitable. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah, but were those guys a big finance? Because we talked about this, and this is where I'm confused. If you tell me you have the best farm system in Major League Baseball, and yet you can't get a guy that isn't going to cost you much, like the Merrill Kelly guy. He wasn't going to cost you much. If you're telling me you don't want – he did tell me that they didn't want to trade anybody off the big league roster, which I think is stupid. That's what he did say. But if you say you have this great farm system and it's not like a high price that you have to pay for Kelly or even Joe Ryan for the next couple of years, why wouldn't you then do that?
I cannot wait for an explanation. There's no explanation.
Well, it is that they want those players, Wiggy, because they're cheap. It's not that they're going to be – it's not that Joe Ryan is so expensive. It's that those guys are under their control for 7 years, and that's how he wants to run the operation. And I would also say that, it's – the Red Sox are woven into the psyche of the people that listen to this radio station and live where we are in a way that the other teams just aren't. It's just something about them. I don't know what it is, whether it was the pursuit of the win, how we celebrated 04, bringing things to places where people had passed and honoring what they did. And this has been a slow, steady separation between the fans and this organization. And they keep coming back. Devers gets traded. I say it's crazy. People say I'm nuts. Devers was the problem. They win 10 straight games, and everybody's singing Sweet Caroline. Now it's I don't know where they go. I don't know what their thing is here, because what they did the last time there was this big question is out of the blue they gave $120 million to Trevor Story because they didn't talk to Kyle Schwarber. It's these weird overreactions that have no plan whatsoever in a way to try and get the fan base off their back.
But they seem to be okay with, you know, because Craig Breslow said last night, and we listened to it earlier, and we can ask him about it again. He says he knows, he understands that there's anger and there's frustration. And so they seem
to be... That sounds like a PR person talking to you when you get fired.
But they seem
HR.
To be... But they know it. It's there. They don't care.
Right. They clearly don't care.
Yeah. This is Joe from the Cape. Joe, what's going on?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hey.
I have a question that you could ask Breslow. Would he trade Bueller for Nick Pivetta? Because that's what he did. Would he trade Quinn Priester for Dustin May? Because that's what he did. Is Sean Newcomb that much below Stephen Matz So there's three guys he gave up for nothing that he had on his team, and he went out and got two guys that aren't as good as those three guys, and it's not even close. Pivetta and Priester are 20-5 with ERAs, one in the low threes and one in the twos. And you had them, and you traded them away or let them go to free agency because you knew Walker Buehler was going to be great. It's pitiful.
Right. I mean, look at a guy like Schwarber, $79 million for 4 years. Look at what did Eovaldi get with the Rangers? He's been dominant since he left. I mean, how many players leave here and dominate elsewhere for not crazy deals?
This is Jonathan from New Bedford. Hey, Jonathan, what's going on?
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Doing great.
So I just want to know what happened. You know, I mean, we got Joe Ryan in the grasp of our hands. I see sources saying that we signed him. Yahoo Sports is saying it. Next thing you know, Dustin May is signed within seconds of the post getting deleted. What were we offering for Joe Ryan? What did they want? How did we not get him? That's really just
yes.
Blows my mind.
I mean, you were also just there. Like I mean, Craig Breslow was on that trip. I mean, you're there. Get a deal done while you're there. And when Ken Rosenthal says that their offer, right, what they were willing to do, was feeble at best, that says to me they weren't really in on it. So I don't know where the stuff came last night at 5:55 or whatever that they almost had the deal done. I'm assuming that was their leak attempt. But
do they not know that the truth is going to come out, that the national reporters are going to say, hey, Minnesota, were the Red Sox there?
Also must have been, when you have, whether it's Fox Sports or whomever that is, essentially sending out social media messages that the deal's done, it can't just be one side that's saying it. I mean, I guess it could be.
Clearly it wasn't the Twins.
Nobody checking with the Twins? Did the Twins think they had a deal with them and then they walked away from it at the last minute? I mean, I don't know.
Maybe it was your approach, Greg, and they didn't want to give up Duran and the chemistry, right? If the thing is that you don't want to give up guys from your big league team that potentially could get the deal done because of chemistry, or maybe it's going to mess it up, maybe that was what Minnesota wanted. I mean, it seems like that, and we had talked about this going into the trade deadline, you should be willing to give up whoever it is, and this, other than like a Roman Anthony or some of those, Sadan Rafaela, like you should be able to give up guys that you know that when you get that impact on is going to help your roster.
But then Craig Breslow yesterday can't be saying to media, we started talking about guys that we said were off the table to begin with. Like, the only guy that was talked about over and over again was Jarren Duran. So if you're saying that we ended up talking about guys that we said we wouldn't deal away, then that, to me, tells me that they were willing to part ways with Jarren Duran.
But why would they, for the last, 60 days since they traded Rafi Devers, tell everybody with a microphone that they're going to do something to improve the club, that they're going to be aggressive, that this is a season that they're targeting, things have changed.
He's going to tell you that he thinks he improved the ball club.
Okay, nobody's going to actually allow him to say that because that's horse crap.
With these two deals, like, that's what they're
going to do. They got a guy that's a cast-off of a team that's trying to win a World Series.
I know.
Like, everybody liked the Devers move. I don't think everybody. No,
did.
I think the
Curtis didn't.
Well, other than Curtis, but I think the Devers move, because I know, Curtis, I'm on your train, but I disagree with you on the Devers move about getting more back, because if you already have a great farm system, it doesn't matter how much you get back.
What are you talking about? They just used a guy they got in that trade to get a crappy pitcher.
That pitcher would have been better if they got more in return. You can't tell me that they have the best farm system in baseball and then be mad at them.
But they didn't touch their farm system.
Right,
they
that's on Breslow. Breslow is the jackass who didn't want to touch the farm system or didn't want to touch the major league club. He only wanted to touch certain guys in the farm system. If everybody, and I'm not a baseball guy like that, if everybody tells me that you have one of the best farm system in baseball, then you should be able to get impact players.
But I do think the best farm system in baseball was when Roman Anthony and Mayer and those guys were still there. Like, now that those guys are on the big league club.
Yeah, but I never heard that, though. I mean, I know.
That is, I mean, I believe that that is the case.
Yes.
I mean, they had the number one prospect in baseball. That guy's no longer a prospect. I don't think you would still have the top prospect
so,
in baseball.
So then you were okay with trading Jaren Duran.
Of course.
Would you, if the Twins ask was Roman Anthony, would you?
There's no way that was the ask.
Okay, what if the ask was an injured Marcelo Meyer?
Sure, take him. Good.
Okay, you would have been okay with it.
Absolutely. I kind of want to win this year.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I would have jumped.
You would have? You would have?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, I think you would have easily been able to.
He showed up late to Jones and Keefe. He's dead to me.
How many how many years left you have with Trevor Story?
Three, maybe.
Yeah,
I mean, 2020.
Yeah, you could figure out your next shortstop, and you know, after the Trevor Story situation, I'm with you on that one, Chris. I would have gave up.
Yeah.
I would have gave up Campbell. I would have gave up Meyer.
Rafaela?
What about Castillo?
No, I wouldn't have gave up Rafaela.
Okay.
I wouldn't have gave up Rafaela because I think, you know, he's one. I would have gave up Duran. I would have gave up Abreu.
You would have, yeah.
So I don't understand.
If they have a number two starter like that, like Ryan, they are a World Series contending team.
And he's locked down for two more years, and you can certainly get a deal done with them like you did with Crochet. Those are once-in-a-lifetime opportunities to have legit one and two rotation guys locked down.
And you would have had the city to yourself for the start of the fall. You would have been competing for a division. You've got you're in the playoffs right now, and you have the best starting pitcher in baseball, I would say, this year in Crochet. You have one of the best 2-3 closers in baseball in Chapman.
You have a huge opportunity. Aaron Judge may need Tommy John surgery.
Right.
Like, you have a giant opportunity in front of you.
Exactly.
And you whiff on it.
And you can't tell us the Twins didn't want to give up on him because they shipped out Carlos Correa. They shipped out their closer, Duran. So they were moving on from pieces anyways, the Twins, knowing, like, okay, we might be in a different stage. I just don't understand why you weren't able or – what you were holding on to so tight that you weren't willing to give up for that Joe Ryan deal.
Well, maybe you'll get an answer coming up in 20 minutes. We are in Fall River at Pier 52 this morning on a Flex Friday. You guys are amazing. Like I feel like I say it probably too much, but we ask, we say we're coming, and then you show up. So I can't thank you enough for that. I want to thank Mike and his whole crew at Greyhound Package Store, and they did this last year. Showed up with a really big, gigantic check for the Greg Hill Foundation.
So,
thanks to Mike.
Why did you write Courtney instead of Greg Hill?
And so, when we come back, we will wrap the week up. Yeah, round of applause for. We will wrap the week up with acrobatic next.
Like we do every week at this time, the Greg Hill Show on WEEI in association with the Boston Sports Apparel Company and Acrobatic bring to you. Glad y'all could make it to kick it with Acro. Tonight, Fenway gets a visit from the Astros. This week, I wish the Sox made headlines, but they didn't do at the trade deadline. Nothing was done by bedtime, and this morning, people are pissed on the commuter rail and red line. They acquired Dustin May and Steve Matz, who don't exactly have the most hard-to-believe stats. Despite a 17-7 July, the pitching staff needed more than two new guys. Anyway, we took two or three from the Dodgers, did the same to the Twins, and they traded their whole roster. These Sox wins might be swelling up the dome, cause at the deadline they left well enough alone. Maybe they should learn to win in some new ways, cause they still 5 games behind the Blue Jays. Could have been less, but first game with the Twins, the umps restarted the game in the rain, that let them win. Pat's training camp so good, everybody working really hard like they should. This new old line could be the perfect medicine to protect Drake May and clear the way for Henderson. And I swear I'm not hating, but who gives a damn about Pat Mahomes' Madden rating? Why even bring his name up? Besides, yo, Madden been trashed for years, man. The game sucks. But I still rock with the soundtrack. So come and get these 99 overall raps. Turn it up!
Let's hear it for Acrobatic Weekly Wrap-Up. From Pier 52 here in Fall River. And covered all of it. And unfortunately, the Red Sox which you can talk about all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, do nothing at the trade deadline. So,
I think it's a great business plan to preach patience while charging the biggest ticket prices in the sport. I think that that really works hand in hand.
Well, people keep going, though. I mean,
Well, Dodgers fans do, yeah.
Yeah. but, I mean, eventually I think that will become an issue for them if they are they're not competitive, if they don't go far into the playoffs this season, I think that will become an issue for them. I do.
I'll be there tomorrow with James, so yeah. I'll be cheering for my I'm not going to get anything to eat in the park.
No?
Nope. James is not a scab.
Maybe that thing will be settled. Maybe that baby will get settled today and everything will be A-okay over there, Curtis.
I'm sure Liverpool will make a big acquisition.
It's Fenway. People still go no matter what. You know what I mean? Courtney, we talked about
all
this.
The time.
They have things for, you know, I know you don't like the pink hats, but they have. It's like it's that place you go to and you're like, you know, I enjoy going to the games there. The seats, yes, they're uncomfortable with the bigger guys, but just being there, people like to be at Fenway Park because of the history and the nostalgia.
But I understand that part of it, but when it comes to your diehard fan base, eventually you are going to lose some of them. I mean, this is four deadlines in a row where you have yet to legitimately add to your baseball team.
Diehards so never go anywhere.
Oh, but they
never go anywhere. The guy who called from the 67 team when they wheeled in the black and white TV into the gymnasium is still
right. Wiggy, there was a long period of time where we would talk about the regular season baseball games, the batting order, who was playing second. I remember one time in 04, Doug Minkiewicz played second base and EEI almost exploded. Like, you would talk about these things over and over and over again. The Red Sox have lost a huge market share
of what they used to occupy. Baseball in general has lost that.
Boston was immune to that.
But going to the stat book in 04 for people now, no one gives a crap about that. Like,
you guys, tonight is Bravo night at Fenway. Like, what are we talking about?
Exactly.
They just announced that Alex Cooper and Unwell Network are doing an Unwell night coming up. Like, that is where Sam Kennedy's attention is bringing people into the ballpark,
because
making sure there are butts in seats, and making sure they're still making money, no matter if you're a fan or not.
But the Ness and TV ratings are a great way that they make a ton of money. That's their biggest cash cow, and they're nowhere near what they used to
be. In 04, Curtis, when people...
Oh, I'm talking about 18.
All right, 18, you had a World Series winning team. People, when you look at the 04 in those years and people calling up WEI and saying,
I'm not talking 04, I'm talking 18.
Whatever, you look at the box score, like that's like Adam Sandler's Happy Gilmore. That's 20-plus years ago. People don't care. Like, I'm with Courtney. People go there. They want the selfies. They want the Bravos. There's Star Wars night. There's Pokemon night, Harry Potter
night.
That's why people go to the diehards are like they're my grandfather's age.
Yeah, the diehards can't actually get there.
No, the diehards. Sorry to say this, they're getting ready to die.
Holy cow!
Because they're all old. I mean, let's be honest.
There's a bunch of them here this morning that are pissed off. They don't look ready to die.
I would say that if they're true diehards, they're probably like...
Wow, you could feel that energy.
They're like the guy Jack who the TV was wheeled in 67.
Right. Yeah. These guys are all plants.
This is Alex from New Hampshire. Alex, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Greg? What's up here, 52? Yeah, what makes this one a bit worse is the fact that normally they had this built-in excuse of, oh, so-and-so is coming back from injury, like Chris Sale, like that's the move they made. They kind of messed up in that regard. They should have brought Bregman. They should have had him sit and come back after the trade deadline, like that was their big acquisition. And I don't know, there's this scene in Moneyball where Henry's talking to Billy Bean about, hey, you did this and it only cost you this much per win, and this is how much we paid per win. So it really does come down to Henry and money, and that is it. Have a great day, you guys.
Yeah. And honestly, you know me, I've been a fan. I was a fan of the Devers trade from the get-go, and I wanted it to happen 2 weeks before it did. But hindsight-wise, you could have waited on Devers until the deadline and gotten more for him.
There's many things you could have done. You could have waited. You could have assumed more money.
If that was going to be your move, you could have waited and added in that way by getting more back on that. So,
but you might not have been the same team, though. but you know, with the chemistry and all that stuff, maybe. You might not be that same team with Devers if you waited till, you know, yesterday.
All right. Up
you mean
next,
the team that had just swept the Yankees.
Up next, the Red Sox. The Red Sox front office report with Craig Breslow. A lot to ask him about, and a lot to answer for, and that is all coming up next.